B-Pod Studios.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to this week-ending episode of Checkpoint Daily. On today's episode, we're going to talk about Valkyrae becoming one of the newest owners of 100 Thieves, Twitch having one of its best quarters ever, and The Last of Us. Do you already want to play this game again? And Sony potentially losing one of its highest profile co-collaborators. Guys, this is Checkpoint Daily.
The latest esports and gaming news. Checkpoint XP Daily has got you covered. Find it online at checkpointxp.com. Get in the game with your hosts, Norris, Callie, and Chad.
Hey, everybody. It is Friday. It is Friday.
Oh.
Pay Denny for most of you out there.
Payday.
Listen,
happy day.
It's a happy day. Beautiful weather across most of the continuous 48 states and all that good stuff.
That's right.
I'm really excited because not only this is like the first legit like spring weekend.
Yeah,
that we're getting this year is going to be beautiful.
Yeah,
we had a nice rain yesterday. Listen, I just get excited about this time of year because it means my birthday is near. So you guys, we are only a couple weeks removed from Norris History Month. So get ready.
Oh, God.
All right? It's going to be the best month ever. It is my birthday. It's my fiance's birthday. It's Memorial Day. I'm getting married. This is the best month ever put together in the history of months. May.
Damn.
It's the best month.
By the way, isn't it nice being with somebody who has a birthday in the same month as you?
No.
I'm going to ask if...
I love it. Sarah and I are only 7 days apart, and it's wonderful.
No.
Really? Yeah.
Nope.
And she's first, too, so like... Yeah.
She's older.
Well, I get to set the pace at what the gift level is going to be.
Yeah.
So like, if I want something like real nice, I get to get her something real nice. Right. And if I'm like, you know what, money's a little tight... we'll go a little cheaper this year, then she knows she can go a little cheaper.
Let me tell you something.
I can set the pace.
Let me tell you something, okay? Y'all know me, all right? And you know who is my favorite person?
You.
Me! And so to not have my month fully dedicated to me is slightly disappointing.
Oh, God.
But the one cool thing about this, May, also is that my birthday is on Mother's Day, and I do actually like that.
Oh, that's nice.
I'm my mom's only kid, so we have like a...
You must have the same birthday as Kiefer's brother because his always falls on Mother's Day.
Every 7 years.
My mom was real subtle where she's like, you know, last year we had Father's Day together, but we didn't have Mother's Day because of the quarantine and stuff. Man.
That sucks.
That was tough last year. And I'm like,
I didn't
okay,
get a
mom,
gift or anything.
We'll have Mother's Day.
Yeah, so I'm thinking, I'm not entirely sure, but I'm thinking... trying to figure out how we do Mother's Day because obviously I got to think about my future mother-in-law as well.
Mm-hmm.
Got to be a dutiful son-in-law and think about that
That's
well.
Right.
But you know, it's exciting. Chad Callahan's here. Every time we bring up families and marriage and anything, Chad is just like,
It's like when we talk about Nintendo around you.
Yes, it's true. Yeah.
I don't know. Not to say that I don't have a soft spot for my family. I just... probably have a different relationship to family than most people.
That's bad.
Huh?
Bad?
I don't want to say it's bad, but I don't know.
I only know one family member I've ever heard you say something nice about.
Wow.
Grandma?
My grandma. Okay, my grandma,
sorry,
my
two.
Mom.
You say
two.
Nice things about your mom, too.
You do. Your mom and your grandma.
I don't know. I don't want to say, like, I don't actively say anything bad about anyone.
No, you don't.
But...
they don't give you a lot of reasons to say things
exactly.
Good.
Like, I don't know. I'm just, it's just weird. It's just weird.
All right, fine. Whatever.
I'm sure a lot of people can relate to me.
No judgment. Yeah, of course. No judgment. Callie is here.
I am ready for Falcon and the Winter Soldier.
I'm ready too.
I am ready. I can't go on social media. I can't go on any news sites because anywhere you go, it's just like, oh my God, all the spoilers for Falcon and the Winter Soldier.
Callie, I'm going to say this. All right. I not only am I excited about Winter Soldier, all right? I'm going to say this. That is the most lesbian shirt I've ever seen you wear.
This is a guy's shirt, too.
I know.
No, like, come on.
That makes it more lesbian.
No, the red plaid one I have is the most lesbian.
No.
No. That's,
no.
The gays have taken that over. Plaid is lesbian is more gay.
Yeah.
Now.
Oh, no.
Chad knew exactly.
I'm always behind on fashion.
Chad got my energy 100%. Absolutely.
So the lesbians are moving on to guys' Hawaiian shirts?
Floral print.
Floral print shirts?
Yes.
All right, listen. I will embrace my trans
roots. The two leaders in fashion, usually, three. There's three. I'm going to change my opinion. The Chinese.
Yep.
Chinese streetwear. Black people in fashion.
Yeah.
Black people, you can just end it at that sentence.
Black people who like fashion, because it's not everybody.
It's not everybody. You're not, black people who like fashion, it's just facts.
And the gays who like fashion. I'm also going to amend that one as well.
No, it's true.
Got it.
It's true. It is true. Do you know Beijing has the most billionaires of any city now?
Oh, I'm sure. Like, I follow an Instagram that just is Chinese street fashion.
Listen, the TikToks alone.
Oh, the TikToks, the Instagram reels. It's just people
walking. It's disgusting.
It's just people walking, and I'm like, why are you so gorgeous?
Everybody's beautiful.
It's like, literally, it's like, oh, there's one. And they literally just turn the camera, and there's another group of gorgeous people.
And you're just
people.
Like, what is this?
This is your life? You wouldn't do that in New York. It's like someone pissing on the street, and then there's a rat running by.
You know what it is? And somebody said this to me a long time ago. It's not that you're ugly. You're just poor. And with that said, here's what's happening in the world of gaming.
Alrighty then, on that happy note, we got some stream numbers coming out. We said this time last year that Twitch was about to get the bag because of COVID and quarantine. And 12 months later, we do have some great numbers to look at. In that 12-month period, they have doubled their viewership since Q1 2020 from 3.1 billion to 6.3 billion hours watched over the last 12 months.
This is crazy.
It is a bonkers amount of viewership.
And let me tell you this. Obviously, the pandemic had a lot to do with those numbers as more people sat at the crib looking for alternative forms of entertainment, looking for things to do. More people are streaming now. But I think one of the biggest things that's getting revealed here is the fact that just traditional forms of entertainment are falling by the wayside. You see that network TV is lagging behind.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, you got Netflix and on-demand entertainment still going strong. But the cool thing about Twitch is Twitch did something in late 2019, moving into 2020, before the pandemic even really became a thing. But in about fall 2019, they made a strong push into their arts community, their music community, their creator communities, and a lot less emphasis went on to the gamer streamer sort of focus. That might have been one of the single smartest things that Twitch has ever done. Because for me, 10 o'clock at night, I got me a house music stream that I'm listening to.
There you go.
When I'm playing my video game. And it's part of my nightly routine now.
Listen, like, their whole play has been, kind of like you say, has been how do we get it Twitch to be an always-on sort of thing versus being something that you actively tune in to watch your favorite streamer. How do we get it so that it is always on in the background or always on or overnight when you're watching stuff? Like, they've done such a good job with kind of creating that community. Also, an interesting note on here is that Facebook Gaming and YouTube Live are that line is starting to get real close.
Between those two?
Yeah, YouTube Gaming is still sitting at about 413 million versus 342 million for Facebook Gaming.
Which is so weird because I don't know a single person who says that they watch Facebook
It's
gaming.
The install base of Facebook. You know, and I hate to put it this way, but we in gaming and anime communities, we constantly rail against the normies and all that other stuff. But you got to remember, the vast majority of planet Earth is on Facebook.
Yeah.
And that's how you got to think about it, though. The vast majority of Earth, not you know, gamers or this or that, Earth is on Facebook. And so by simple attrition, they are able to gain so many viewers, so many followers, so many everything.
How often are you scrolling your Facebook page and you see some gameplay happening, and you stop for just a moment and just see, like, oh, what game are they playing?
That counts.
It all counts.
I guess, but I guess I want to also see the numbers, like everywhere versus like the U.S. versus you know, anywhere else.
I'm willing to bet Facebook's is way higher outside the U.S.
I want to say it is because I still feel like even still that, you know, Twitch is obviously leading the charge, but YouTube gaming feel like is something the U.S. really holds strong to, regardless of whether it's streaming or not.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. Here's the one of your thing that irritates me about the Twitch thing. They're constantly rewarded for all this, and it most likely means that they won't change a thing. And I hate
that. They won't, because they don't have to. And when you're in first place, and we're gonna talk about somebody else who's acting like that later on in the show. But the one thing I will say is that YouTube got to get it together. And what I mean by that is that their gaming platform sucks. It's not good. Not even compared to Facebook.
No.
Which I've watched Facebook streams, and don't get me wrong, the interface is garbage, and it makes me want to vomit every time I open Facebook. But there's no incentive or anything that makes the viewing experience on YouTube somehow superior or analogous to Twitch right now. No reason to watch it.
The only way that they'll win, and I've said this before, is if they have some type of searchability when it comes to your clips.
Absolutely.
And that Twitch doesn't have that. I don't think Facebook really has that. YouTube can do it because the infrastructure is already there. So if they could figure out the best way, kind of like the way they're doing the shorts thing right now, they could win a lot of love.
I mean, because YouTube is the entire repository of collective human thought. And so that would be a huge boon.
Rachel Hofstetter, better known as Valkyrie, has become one of the new co-owners of 100 Thieves.
This is so great.
Announced at the same time as Jack Dunlop, who is better known as Courage. He's a Fortnite star. They have both become co-owners of 100 Thieves, which recently, by the way, got rated, valued at $190 million.
And let me tell you something. That will go up.
Yeah. I mean,
that will go up.
So if I were to put like the spectrum of teams that I have grown more enamored with versus teams I have grown less enamored with, like, let's call it the, oh, I don't know, the 100 Thieves FaZe Clan spectrum.
Yeah.
And the worst part is you don't have to tell me which side's which.
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly. I think 100 Thieves has done a stellar job of developing their brand. And, you know, all credit to some of the original founders like Nate Schott. I know Dan Gilbert was
if you look at that ownership team, is Courage, Valkyrie, Nate Schott, Scooter Braun,
Dan Gilbert.
Yeah. What? But
come on, man.
Imagine that boardroom meeting.
That's quite a diverse set of owners.
I mean, they need a black guy, but whatever. Yeah. But the point.
Well, Drake's.
Well, yeah. Yeah, I guess you're right.
I was about to say.
Drake's black. We'll count him. We'll take him.
I was going to say something. Maybe I don't know.
Drake was.
You know what? It's because Drake has become so his own thing that I forget he's black sometimes.
I can see that.
You know, like, for real. Like, I ain't got,
he did start in Degrassi, so.
Like, Beyonce's black, but at this point, Beyonce has transcended, like, everything.
Right, yeah, so you're saying that if Dave Chappelle does a new racial draft, the black delegation may have to redraft Drake.
He's
the same level as Wayne Brady.
You know what? The Wayne Brady Drake spectrum. Anyway, but to your point and about Valkyrie and 100 Thieves, not only is this awesome, not just for her and Courage, obviously.
Yeah.
But I think this is a great sign for how these esports and gaming lifestyle brands need to operate in the future. Hey, listen, you got a streamer who has performed, two streamers who have increased the valuation of your company. I mean, immensely, really by their lonelies. You know, you take the two of them away from 100 Thieves, and is that company worth almost $200 million? I don't think so. Not right now.
No. I'm excited because she did announce, when she announced, she said she's one of the first women esports owners.
And this is brilliant.
I had to look it up because I was like, there's got to be one or two more.
There's women CEOs. There's women.
But not owners. Yeah. I really looked, and I mean, there might be one. I just couldn't find it. But which, again, if there is and I couldn't find it, that's a problem.
Yeah.
But I don't know. It just opened my eyes a little bit because I was thinking all the powerful women in esports. But none of them are owners.
But there it goes, and it goes to show you again that this is another reason to really kind of rock with this brand a little bit. And I usually don't try to espouse to say one brand is better than the other one, because we love everybody. And
screw
we
it,
want,
do it.
Yeah, no, but we want everybody to be successful, obviously. But the point of fact is that, Callie, I'm right there with you. If I had to pick a team or a brand that I say I rock with heavy.
100 Thieves.
It's 100 Thieves.
No one has done it better.
No one's done it better. You're putting women in the ownership team. You got rappers. You got, you know what I'm saying? You got all different types of folk. And just like we said, look at that ownership team. Those are very different people.
Oh, are you kidding? Dan Gilbert alone, you know, just being a part of that, you mean
this
like,
is
okay.
Weird.
It's weird, but it's smart. Like he's built like an empire.
Yeah. So you got Dan Gilbert coming from, you know, the investment and real estate background. You got Drake, a multi-million record selling recording artist. You got Scooter Braun, music executive. You got Courage and Nadeshot, who come from these esports backgrounds. You got Valkyrie, who comes from the streamer background. In terms of esports and gaming, all they need is Hideo Kojima, and they got all of it.
Yeah, then they start making games.
Yeah, that's it. All they need is a game developer, and now they've done it.
Damn.
According to reports, there is a The Last of Us remake in development at Naughty Dog.
This is dumb.
And it does have me kind of wondering, have we officially gone beyond the pale? Is this the mark? Are we there?
We're there. Because
this game is 8 years old. It is
just had its sequel.
It was a game of the year. Its sequel just came out.
Has a remaster on PS4.
Yeah, and it's getting a PS5 remake.
By the way, doesn't even look bad on PS3.
As I said, I still recall it looking pretty decent.
It was
today.
A late gen PS3 game, so it looked really good.
And so, I mean, that's what I mean. We're not talking about a remaster for PS5. This is a remake.
A remake.
Yeah.
A total remake.
More than a remaster. What would they change?
Details are scarce. It's just, but it's being reported as a remake, not a remaster.
Now, here's the thing. According to multiple reports, Sony wanted to think about another big AAA title to put out. They want to do these big, you know, the console movers, if you will.
Yeah.
Which is dumb because you can't buy the console.
I was saying like the console's moving just fine.
If I was Sony right now, I'd be heavily investing in smaller games right now, so I don't have this massive overhead for consoles that people can't buy right now. True. But I digress. And so it was either this or Days Gone 2. Both of those are bad ideas. Both of them. Neither one are good ideas. And the thing to me, and Callie, you said it right at the top of when you introduced this, is yes, we've gone beyond the pale.
They were talking about Days Gone
being
on that garbage zombie
game.
Yeah,
people didn't like that. I didn't play it, but it was terrible. A lot of people didn't like it.
It's not good. Here's the thing. This is what Callie and I and many other people said when the 7 remake was so successful, and then we realized, oh, snap, other people who have no business doing this are going to do it. And
let them
Square
do that.
Enix,
let them fail.
Square Enix can do it because they have a 30-year history to go off of, right? Eidos did it with Tomb Raider because they could. They could reboot the series because the original game came out in 1997. Right. All right, you're talking about a game that is less than a decade old that most people can still go buy on platforms that most people still have.
Yeah.
This is the dumbest idea in the history of Sony. And you know what? I'm not going to say I hope it fails because I'm not that kind of person, but I guarantee you they will be disappointed if they see this all the way through.
That's the thing. Again, if this turns out to just be a remaster, I'm fine with it. You can always remaster your game for the next generation of console. Whatever. Bring it up to speed. They're doing it for Life is Strange. I'm not going to give Don't Nod it crap about that. Remakes are different, though. Remakes, I feel like, are reserved for games that are so woefully out of date that remastering them doesn't really mean anything.
Right.
Like FF7, we got FF7 remastered and it still looks like butt.
Right.
Like you needed to remake it. It has to be rebuilt from the ground up.
Well, it's part of why 8 probably won't get a remake anytime soon, because you look at the difference between FF7 and 8 and you go, I didn't even know the hardware could do that.
Yeah.
That's how big of a graphical jump it was. And so for me, when it comes to this decision, I am very concerned about what Sony's and what PlayStation's sort of vision for this console is supposed to be. Because if what they're saying is we're going to go for the AAA, big budget console stuff, the God of Wars, The Last of Us, you know, Uncharted, all these games, there are these big budget AAA games, which, by the way, game of the year was Hades, you know, last year for most people.
And the number one played game pretty much all of last year was Among Us.
Exactly. So the market is telling you that people are enjoying smaller experiences. People are enjoying labors of love, smaller games, indie games. That's what people are liking right now. I've enjoyed mostly smaller games over the past year.
Put Valheim on PS5? Ooh.
Yeah, but
I'd be excited.
But the point is that they could have announced any other remake of any other title from any other gen, and it would have made more sense than this. And then, by the way, it's The Last of Us, a game that now has a reputation of being incredibly polarizing.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah. It's quite an interesting decision. I'm not for it.
No, I think this is
a game of the year. Oh, we need to jump on this moment.
It's not even that.
It's probably more, but that's part of it.
You know what this is? This is, oh, we have a Last of Us TV show coming out.
Oh, yeah.
And we want to make sure that people who didn't play it the first time can play it again.
Fair enough.
That's what this is. But let me tell you something. Even that's a dumb reason.
It should have just been a port over from PS4 to PS5. It wouldn't even been a call to port over. It's just like a...
Just port the remaster from PS4. Who cares?
That's what I mean.
Anyway, we're going to keep on this Sony line of thinking because there have been some rumors that one of the biggest names in the Sony camp, so to speak,
oh yeah,
might be jumping ship and making something for Xbox. So we're going to talk about that coming up on part two of Checkpoint Daily.
Bring the heat. Share your thoughts on socials with us at Checkpoint XP on Facebook and Twitter. You could even be featured on tomorrow's show.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Checkpoint Daily. Don't forget to slide over to our website, checkpointxp.com. Don't forget to check out all of our social medias at Checkpoint XP or on Campus Esports. By the way, this weekend is the Overwatch Collegiate Championship playoffs. We're going to get a national champion this weekend.
Who are you pulling for?
Northwood, simply because they're the Michigan school.
Hell yeah.
Northwood is arguably...
Homerism wins out again.
Northwood is also...
They're also really good.
Arguably the second or third best school in Overwatch right now. Maryville is still in the mix, as always. Harrisburg is in the mix. But University of Michigan made it in through wild card. So,
do you know where they can watch for those who might be interested?
Yeah, you're going to go over to the Overwatch Contenders YouTube channel. They don't play every match, so I'm just putting that out there now.
Prepare to be disappointed about that part.
If you're from a smaller school, to not be able to watch that. But in the first round of playoffs, we do get Michigan versus Ohio State.
Ooh, that's a great...
All right. We do get in the first round, Michigan versus Ohio State in Overwatch, and I never thought I would be so excited to watch college Overwatch. I'm really hyped off that. Yeah, go blue, man. But Ohio State's way better. It's no different from football.
They have a really good esports scholarship at Ohio State.
They do. So make sure you guys check that out again, the Overwatch Contenders channel. That should be starting tomorrow afternoon, Eastern time. Now, we were talking about Sony. And, you know, earlier in the show, I talked about how Twitch has a little bit, you know, Chad, you brought up how Twitch has a little bit of hubris. They feel like they don't need to change too much because they're in the king's chair. They at the top spot. I feel like a lot of that is going on with Sony right now with the decisions with the Naughty Dog thing. They just all just double dip, you know, whatever. It was good the first time. People will like it again. That's not always true. But there have been rumors that have come out that says Hideo Kojima, beloved game director, head of Kojima Productions, and one of the last true auteurs of video games, I would say. Mm-hmm. Apparently, there is rumor that he could be working on a game for Xbox. And I wanted to have a discussion about this with you guys because we have spent the better part of 6 to 7 months talking about, hey, listen, in terms of the console itself, Xbox, you're probably going to get blown out the water. But where you can come back on is the games.
Yep.
The games and your user experience. And I want to pose the question to you guys. We know Microsoft has been buying up studios left and right.
Mm-hmm.
We know
for the better part of 4 years now.
Yeah, we know that Sony hasn't necessarily done that, but they do have a lot of third-party support.
They do.
If Kojima does go over to Xbox, and even if this is not a permanent thing, even if this is just a one-off, what message do you think that sends to Sony and the rest of the gamer world about what's happening at PlayStation?
Well, listen, I feel like this, to me, strikes of flirting with disaster. This is something that you cannot allow to just go on in the background. If you're in charge of Sony, like, eventually, you need to take notice of Microsoft gobbling up developers left and right, and now finagling away one of your best developers. And not to say permanently, but, and again, this is all just rumored and stuff, but if it's the case, like, those are big plays. Yeah. And I'll say this, because I know a lot of people have branded us Sony stans and whatnot, but I have functioned under one steadfast rule. When you do good, I say nice things about you. When you do bad, I say mean things about you. And Microsoft, good.
Good.
Guys, the moves that you have made over the last 6, 7, 8 months, and again, no, I don't believe that the Xbox Series X is going to outperform the PlayStation 5 in the long run. That said, could Microsoft outperform Sony in the long run?
Absolutely.
You've laid the groundwork. You may well do it.
No, and listen, again, we talk about Game Pass and all that other stuff. Let's put that to the side for a moment, because we know how good the ecosystem is at Microsoft right now. But let's put that aside and talk solely about game development and how people glom on to game directors, certain IPs, all that good stuff. You guys know me. I'm a huge Hideo Kojima fan.
Mm-hmm.
I love his work. I think everything he's made outside of maybe one or two games have been absolutely awesome. All right? For me, as somebody who has been in the Sony ecosystem for many years, when I hear about something like this, I can't help but be reminded of Kojima's exit from Konami. And what I mean by that is, here's a guy who, for the better part of 20 years, has made the games that he has wanted to make.
Yep. Yeah.
Right? He has been given the green light to go make the games he wants to make. In the moment that a company comes in and says, we need you to scale it back, he goes, fuck you guys, I'm out. Right? The moment that Konami tried to, you know, come down from on high and tell him how to make his games, he was gone. Death Stranding comes out, Sony product, weird game. A lot of people didn't play it, but a lot of people who did enjoyed it. Mm-hmm. They said it was a great experience. I am concerned that Kojima is seeing something at Sony that he is not happy with.
Yeah.
Even though they threw the bag at that guy to keep him in the Sony camp, right? To even have this rumor out here, I think, is tantamount to something is rotten in the state of Sony. Seriously.
Something could be. And I mean, I think it comes down to a number of questions. Is this a case of Death Stranding, while popular, did not perform to the level that they were hoping it would?
Mm-hmm.
Like, it was supposed to be the end-all, be-all, and I don't think anyone would argue with that
but
it was.
See, but to me, that's Sony's mistake. That's Sony's mistake.
Well,
that's not Kojima's mistake. That's on Sony.
Well, that also may be them saying, like, okay, so if that was the return on investment that we got for what we spent, and they did spend mm-hmm. a lot, they might be saying on the next one, like, we're not going to, like, you do have to scale back a little bit on the next one. And he may well just be saying, no, I don't.
And that's what I mean.
Yeah.
And that's what I mean.
Tinfoil hat.
I have zero reporting or inside
knowledge. Yes, this is all conjecture,
all
right. But tinfoil hat.
Tinfoil hat on, and this is me just praying this happens. All right? He didn't have the opportunity to finish PT.
Right.
I know that's real close to his heart.
Yeah.
Because it's one of the reasons why he kind of like stepped away, I'm sure.
Well, it was another nail in the coffin of
nail
his time
coffin.
In Konami.
So,
yes.
What if Microsoft is in their throwing of money at everything?
Because they got it.
Because they got it. It's bringing in some of this Konami stuff. and he's back in so he can finish some projects.
Here's how I feel.
I'm just hoping. This is me tinfoil hat.
I know that's
large
tinfoil
scale
hat, but here's how I feel. I honestly, with everything in my heart, believe that Kojima does not want anything to do with any property that he already worked on.
Do you? I feel like
I don't.
I feel like he would hate to have an unfinished something.
But I think because he is so strange and so particular that I feel like he does not want to be the guy. He doesn't want to get into this remake BS. He doesn't want to do that.
Well, that's why if he did something like PT where it never was finished,
cult. But I guarantee you, to Kojima, PT low key could have been exactly the experience that he wanted to make.
I think PT, like playable teaser or whatever you want to call it, I think it, even if it wasn't what it was originally designed to be, it ended up being the artistic statement that he wanted to make.
I guess. So it's for me.
Because, by the way, every game ever, every indie horror game ever now borrows the PT formula.
Think about that.
Constantly.
Oh, I'm sure, but
even from a development standpoint.
The reason why I think about it is like I can't think of a single very widespread, well-known horror game that Xbox has that is like strictly Microsoft product or like is synonymous with Xbox.
No, I agree with you, but at the same time,
maybe Dead Space?
No.
Even that's on PlayStation.
That was on PlayStation.
Was it?
Yeah. But the thing about this, and when we're talking about, you know, cuz first of all, Let's just be frank. Kojima could go make a game wherever the hell he wants to.
I'm sure Kojima has the money in his studio to make
it himself.
He could do it
himself if he wants to. But the fact of the matter is that with a bunch of stuff coming out this week about Sony, about the remakes, about everything that's happening internally with some of the decision-making, everything that's going on, I can't help but connect dots here and put on the tinfoil hat on myself and say, you know, maybe this is Kojima saying, maybe I just shouldn't attach myself to these console developers.
Or he's seeing the fact that consoles, like you said, are going nowhere, but Xbox Game Pass lives forever.
Absolutely.
And mobile might be the next generation
Absolutely.
For me.
I think he is smart enough to see and read some tea leaves, if you will, and say, all right, maybe I need to cast a wider net here. Because for as much as the Metal Gear series sold and did for Sony, I don't think you can catch that lightning in a bottle twice. I don't think you could do that twice. And so I think for Kojima, this is a great thing because now there's going to be a bidding war. You know what I'm saying? Because now, even if he isn't doing something for Microsoft, Sony, the alarm bells got to be going off going, oh my God, we got to keep this guy.
And that's what I'm getting at, though. Like, not even so much just to talk about Kojima, but this has been the general trend that we've seen for the last 4 years now. Ninja Theory from all over the place, right? Like, Microsoft saying, hey, if we get the people who make the games that people like, that will carry our brand. And whether or not it carries their console or not,
doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter. All it has to do is carry their brand. And, like, Bethesda is a great example of that. Konami would be, like, a coup if they could
manage that. It'd be masterstroke.
I would be blown away. Again, I will come on and say nice things about you, Microsoft, if you do that. I just feel like this is, it's not too late for Sony to right the ship.
No, not at all.
I'm seeing the signs of hubris and the signs of complacency that comes with being on top for an entire console cycle.
Let me tell you something.
It's the same hubris that
Microsoft I was just about
tank.
To say that. We've seen this before.
This is leading into the PS4 era all over again.
All over again.
Just the shoes on the other foot.
Where we saw, right? Where we saw, it's flip-flopped once more. Where we saw Microsoft come out and say, the Kinect is bundled with it and you don't have a choice.
Yeah.
Here's the always on, always connected console that you don't have a choice about. You can't share your games. Mm-hmm. You don't have a choice about that.
Yep.
It's not a hardware decision, but it's the software where Sony is now saying our focus is going to be AAA. By the way, the consumers made this monster. We made this monster because we went out and bought God of War and all the Uncharted's and all the other big budget AAA games, Spider-Man, Ghost of Tsushima.
Which, by the way, were great.
All of them are great games. But we made this monster, and we didn't support the smaller games on the PlayStation consoles. We went to the PC to play those. We went to the Switch to play those.
And listen, for how long did we champion, like, the reason people are going to buy this PlayStation is because of the exclusive titles, right, like your God of War.
Absolutely.
I understand why they're going this route. There's just, you can't get complacent about it. You have to be really careful.
It's just, I know we said that, and I know I may sound like I'm contradicting myself, but over the past year, seeing what smaller games and indie games have been doing for games as a whole, the Among Us, the Phasmophobias, the Valheims, the Hades, seeing what those have been doing for gaming as a whole, you cannot ignore them. You will be stupid to, and this could be Sony's fatal mistake.
I mean, here's the biggest fatal mistake, is you named all but one of those games you named. What's the common thread?
PC.
PC and multiplayer. And what's hidden behind a paywall?
Multiplayer.
Yep.
I can't play Valheim on even if I did get Valheim on PS5, let's say. I can't play it with my friends.
Well, I mean, that's an easy decision because, like, 14 is not hitting behind the paywall. MMOs traditionally, especially ones that have subscriptions.
I got Fall Guys for free, but now I have to pay so I can
play online.
Friends.
Yeah, no,
I have to do it, like Valheim or Among Us. Any of these games that involve me talking to people as part of the game, I now have to pay for.
I'm telling you right now, they got to rethink their whole structure. Because for me, after having Game Pass for about a month and a half now, I'm just more willing to just play some shit, to just play it, to just try it. I was talking to Callie earlier. I just started Spiritfarer. I done damn near cried already. I'm an hour and a half into the game. I'm already emotionally struck at how beautiful and tender the game is. And I would have never tried this game on the PS4 because I would have had to pay full price or maybe $20, $10 for it.
Yeah. Can I just say this about Spiritfarer? I'm going to sum up Spiritfarer in one word.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
In that tone of voice. Right. It's constantly just like, also, your dead grandma's a frog now. And you're like, okay.
Yeah. It's great.
But it's okay.
Yeah. It's a very, very strange game.
Yeah. It's very weird.
But I'm finding it to be a very enjoyable experience. And there is nothing like that on PlayStation. All right? They have Avengers on PlayStation Now right now. I'm still not fucking playing that game.
No. Nope.
Okay? And it's technically free for me. I technically just paid $10 for it because I have PlayStation Now. Guess what? Still not gonna fucking play it.
Nope.
Okay? And there's a litany of those kinds of games on PlayStation Now. Games that not in a million years am I gonna play, okay? I've played 3 games on PlayStation Now. Do you know what they are?
I don't know.
I played Blaze Blue. Okay. Continuum Shift.
Okay.
Okay.
I always get you with those weird subtitles.
I also played Samurai Warriors 4.
Well, that's a good one.
That's cool.
The PlayStation 2 game.
Yeah.
And what was I playing the other day? Catherine.
Oh, Catherine's okay. Great game.
Right?
Again, PS3, I believe. But
PS3 game. Okay. I'm not playing nothing new.
No.
I'm not playing nothing exciting. I'm going back and playing some shit that I was like, oh, wow, I never got a chance to play it. Game Pass is better for this. And I think looking at this whole situation with Sony and the thing that they've got to figure out is they got to give value to these gamers and they got to keep their top-end developers. If they don't do that, this shit is over. It doesn't matter how good the console is. It will not matter.
Mm-hmm.
We said the same thing about Xbox 10 years ago, and the shoe is on the other foot. Now, the difference is that everybody is already bought in to the PS5, and such was not the case with the Xbox
One. Yeah.
That's the difference. So this is not all is lost.
No, but if Sony rights the ship, we'll see a correction, and we'll likely see a more even, you know, battle this time around. We'll see, you know, more people split either way. But if it goes Microsoft's way, you're going to have a lot of PS5s collecting dust.
Yep.
While everyone plays Game Pass.
I was going to say.
I think that's where it's going to end up.
If PlayStation relies on their consoles any longer, they're going to fail. If they try to figure something beyond that, they have a chance. But yeah. I haven't seen or heard of anything they're trying to do. Yeah. Doing that.
No, I agree. But with that said, that's going to be it for this episode of Checkpoint Daily. And I just checked my phone and got some bad news, guys. I'm going to say this. Rest in peace, DMX. It has been confirmed dead at 50 of a drug overdose. So I do want to say RIP to Earl Simmons, a.k.a. DMX. And for Chad Callahan and Callie Scales, I'm your host, Norris Howard. Even with that bad news, we want everybody to have a good weekend. And listen, if you are struggling with addiction, we want you to go out, get help, talk to somebody. You do not have to go through that alone.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.